this place cuckoo. Smells like corn.
He's still a swear bag, man. That guy, that Blaze fella. Hey, everybody, yeah, welcome. Yeah, no, it's true. It's Core. It's me, Scott Johnson, Bo Schwartz, John Jagger, hanging out 1 week after the bombshell Thursday. Let's call it. Well, so 6 days after tomorrow, I guess, is the 1 week anniversary of finding out that our favorite MOBA was losing its status in the esports world, and perhaps refocusing on something else. And we've got further information about that. We're going to get to all that. But I'm just curious how everybody's feeling about it. Did you have a week of, like, reconciliation? Or have you come to understanding? We moved on to a new stage. We were in denial. Then we were mad. And then I don't know what the next one is. But where are we now? Bo, are you feeling better? How are you feeling over there?
Not great.
So not much better than you were last week is what you're saying to me.
I mean, okay. Yeah, no. I'll just keep it terse. No, I feel worse than I expected to, I guess is the thing. Because none of this is shocking or surprising to me. And yet I still, you know, we had a very passionate episode last week. We heard a lot from listeners.
Yeah, a lot of
about
feedback.
This. More, I'd say, than we've heard in the recent while. And yes, it's because it's a big news item, but we got a lot of compliments, you know, about how we did the show. And I don't feel great about that, to be honest. It was like, you know, good job on the obituary.
Right.
It's like, well, shit.
I don't want you to, I don't want you to feel any worse about this, but it was also, and this may not come as a huge surprise or anything, I don't know, also one of our, if not our best numbers with the show's ever gotten. So not only did we do, we did a lot in terms of feedback, our download numbers edged higher than they've ever been simply because of a pretty gnarly
train
wreck.
People have that morbid curiosity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like somebody said, hey, you want to see a dead body?
Kind
of,
yeah.
People were like, I don't know, but yeah, I do. Let's go take a look.
You're not supposed to reveal the name of our secret podcast project until we're ready to announce it, John.
Yeah.
Project Dead Body.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to see a dead body? That's the name of the new show.
Well,
2019.
I have bad news for you. We're just going to call it Core or whatever it is. Whatever we do. It's just called Core, and that's how that's going to be.
Okay.
It's an ab-focused podcast.
Yeah.
We're all going to get shredded.
Yeah, we want to strengthen our core. We're going to do it together. Going to be a good time.
We're going to get to a place where Bo can have more than one hit point and feel accurate about
it. Yeah, which, I mean, a long time coming, I say. That's a different story. We'll talk about that later in the thing. But where I'm kind of in a weird place with it, too. I know where I'm at. I feel like I'm in a holding pattern to hear what the new quote-unquote cadence is. And I don't just mean the turnaround time or how quickly something happens, because I don't care about that so much. I just kind of want to know, since they announced this right before the holidays, which is already a period of time we weren't going to get a lot of stuff out of them, I want to know what the first couple of weeks in January look like. And what does that, you know, what's the front-facing voice of the Heroes team to us? How does that all look and sound? You know, how on top of that will they be, or will things go silent for a while? That's my big thing right now, as I kind of just need to see that. And then I can start kind of wrapping my head around what I think the future of this game is. But not just for me, just for, you know, for Blizzard in general. I think that will say a lot about that. And we got some stuff from KO Milker, who during the week, I think helped me quite a bit. But it's also just another follow-up PR thing that I don't think they would have felt like they had to do had the first one not been so terse. So part of me is like, that's good, and I like some of what you're saying, but I also kind of need to see it in motion. I need to see where the rubber meets the road. John, where's your Where's your noggin this week?
I think I'm honestly probably in a pretty decent place. I think I want to preface everything I say with this. We knew a lot of people in the esports scene. You know, some of them just passively, some of them we knew really, really well. We knew a lot of people on the Heroes dev team. We've made a lot of friends in this community, and some of those people are, you know, a little more impacted than what us as players or even us as podcasters are. And that's going to be sad no matter what. So I want to preface this by acknowledging that, because I'm going to probably talk a lot about how I've been feeling, how I've been viewing the game. Honestly, a lot of it kind of has a positive spin to it. But I want to make sure that I at least acknowledge that there is kind of a rough side to this. And it is there, and it hasn't gone away, and I don't think it's going to go away. But as for my own personal feelings on the matter, I think I've gotten to a pretty good place with it. I played some Heroes this past week. I had a really good time doing it. I think the game is in a good place currently, as far as, you know, the changes they've made and the updates they've made. I think this holiday event is the best event they've ever done. I think it would be a good template for future events, if and when we see those. And I think there's a lot to be excited about for the game. And there's a lot of games out there, and this is what I kept coming back to, that don't have massive teams, that don't have massive pushes behind it, that go on to live really long, great lives, that people play to, you know, to this day. You know, just look in the MMO space, it's not the same as it was. EverQuest is still running, still getting expansions. There's a lot that can be done by small teams. There's amazing games that are made by small teams. And we'll get into it in a minute, KO's message, you know, he talks very much about this presents an opportunity. And if they seize it, if they act on it, if they do cool things with it, I think this could be an opportunity for Heroes to even have potentially a renaissance. You've got, sure, less people, but you've got less people, more focused, and now people are kind of ignoring them. Mm. Now they've kind of gotten left alone in the room. The teacher's gone out to worry about other things, and they can kind of do whatever they want, you know, within their constraints. And who knows what that'll be. At the very least, the game is extremely fun right now, and I'm going to have a good time playing it, and that's exactly what's happened. There's definitely some sadness around it. There's definitely some things that have bummed me out, but I've had a lot of fun playing it, and, you know, we'll see what happens. I would say, to your point, Scott, saying, you know, I'm curious what happens in January, I think there's a good chance we don't have a good idea of what the future looks like until maybe even as far as March.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because you have to think there's stuff in the pipeline. So it could be that we have an abundance of content that doesn't really seem to, you know, we don't feel it for a little bit. And maybe it becomes clearer further into the year. We'll see. But for right now, I'm going to ride the wave. We had a patch today.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing, is it's been a lot of doom and gloom. But as far as what the game's doing and what they're putting out, it's kind of been business as usual.
Yeah. And if anything, I'm pretty universal praise out there lately of the last week of games. People are having really good experiences. I don't know if that is just that it's always been pretty good and we're just now like appreciating it more, or the fact that players have found themselves in a humble but wanting to play place and they're all getting along better. Maybe some of the toxicity that was already there left because they thought this was their big hurrah, their big celebratory party. Screw you, Blizzard, I'm out of here. And we're left with less toxicity. But queue times have been lower for me. Like, games themselves felt better matched. Like, I don't know if that is just me feeling that way or what's going on. I am cautiously optimistic about that part of it. But I agree with a lot of what you said. Again, I really like what K.O. I can't ever say his last name. Milker.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's hard for me to say. Yeah, someone who milks something. I like a lot of what he said, and I believe what he said. I just need to know if they are empowered to follow through on what he said. It's not about them wanting to or their desire or whatever. And we'll get into that now. Let's just freaking talk about it. So this is the game director of the game, although I don't know if that was ever officially made
I think. Stop there for a second.
Yeah.
I put in the notes here, the people's game director.
Yeah.
So he may not have an official title of game director. He may be juggler of the programming teams or whatever title he has. I think we just call him game director to make it easy. Yeah. And hopefully he gets the job and they give him a salary bump or something and just save us all the trouble.
I agree.
So game director, K.O. Melker.
The people's game
the
director.
The people, like yeah.
He's like the Rock of Heroes of the Storm development.
That's right.
That's right.
I can smell what he's cooking. So here's the thing. That's the Rock you meant, right? Not.
Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to like a large stone.
Or the movie, The Rock from 1994.
Oh, okay.
Was the other one I was thinking of.
I almost said in a Sean Connery voice, I am the last one. And that's just, none of that's correct.
It just makes me want to watch The Rock. All right. So he said, we're gonna focus in on a few things here. For example, a quote where he says, we truly hit our stride in 2018. So I am disappointed that some of the exciting plans we had for 2019 have to be changed. But he does go on, and I don't know what that actually means. I mean, obviously it means big changes for the esports plans. There's no question about that, but I don't know if he also means stuff they had planned internally. But he goes,
it means it's code for didn't see this coming.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
I don't know that I want to stop here on it, so continue on, but I have something to say about this letter.
All right, we'll get to it. I was able to, during the week, talk to some people who are on the inside, and as much as last week I actively, vocally hoped out loud here on the show and was continually reminded by everybody that I was wrong, but I still held out hope that they had been more communicative inside Blizzard and this wasn't just dropped on them like a bomb the way it was the community. Sadly, throughout the week, it appeared more and more true that it was dropped on everybody like a very sudden thing and nobody saw it coming. So that really still bums me out. If there's one bum me out thing about all this, it's that. But nobody was laid off. That's one really high point of all of this. This isn't a downsizing of any actual people. There's some shuffling around of people moving to some other projects, which happens at Blizzard sometimes. For example, Lashes is still there and still awesome. And we love everything she's doing on the community side of things. Got a chance to talk to her a little bit, and she's been very open and very willing to talk to not only us, but just fans in general and people who love the game. So all of that stuff seems pretty good. He goes on to say, this means we're still committed to regular hero reworks, themed events, and even new heroes. I don't know if I love the line, and even new heroes.
Yeah. I wondered about that too, because there's a lot of ways you can take that, mm-hmm. right? Like, you could take it as, guys, we'll even do new heroes at some point. Like, as a real, like, desperate, like, guys, we might put another hero in this game. Wow.
Yeah.
But it could also be, and especially, you know, we've talked to him. He has a very casual, very fun way of talking to people. And it could just be a nod to people being like, well, does that mean there's no more heroes in the game? It could be his way of being like, yes, even new heroes are coming to this game. It's going to be fine.
Right.
It's hard to, in text, understand and intuit exactly what that means, because it could be a good thing and it could be a real bad sign. So,
yeah, it's easy to get very potato about stuff like this, because all we have is written language to parse, and that can lead to misreadings, misunderstandings, misinterpretations, missing the point altogether. Like, I realized when this letter came out that was kind of the road I was going down, and I had to kind of stop myself and just go, why are you don't try to read into this. Just let it be whatever it is on the surface, and it's okay. But that line, still, even new heroes, is like, it's kind of counter to the idea that up till now, Heroes of the Storm has always been about new heroes. Every few weeks, bam, boom, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one. And so I'm trying not to read into it, but
Can I put
me too? Because there's no map. Word maps aren't in there.
Yeah,
we'll have all this stuff, but not maps.
Yeah, no maps in there.
Oh, don't read into it.
Yeah,
don't read into it.
Can I put an interesting spin on this though?
Of course.
When you think about Hero's pricing model, as far as how they make money, one of the biggest ways they do so is to release new heroes. Mm-hmm. To suddenly turn off that tap and say, well, no, we're not going to do new heroes anymore, would require a probably pretty radical restructuring of how they anticipate income coming in for the game. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe they're just saying like, eh, it'll be what it'll be. But I don't think anybody wants to see the game, you know, even if you want to look at it as, oh, Activision Taskmaster's coming in. Even they would love to see the game start turning a profit. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a chance that maybe the idea that not constantly releasing new heroes could lead to some restructuring as far as a business model for them.
Sure.
Which I think the game probably kind of needs.
Kind of, yeah. A shift in where the production actually goes would shift their money model. Part of me keeps hoping, and this is probably hoping against hope, but I keep hoping that the future is they are on a trickle-down system now where Blizzard just, as they already have been to some point, but they just are subsidizing this cool conflagration of all their IPs. So if they haven't been able to do it through esports and they haven't been able to do it through constant sales on the collection store, maybe the way it works is, all right, well, we want this game to exist. This is purely conjecture on my part. I have no insider knowledge on this, just something I've been thinking about. But if they have been given keys and said, all right, look, we're taking some of your people, we're moving them around, we're doing that, but we're going to also leave a good core group. You guys are going to do your stuff. And now just make the game. Like, make the game, make it the best you can, improve in the areas you want to. Start working on some of the stuff you've been putting off forever because you've been catering to pros and pro scene so much. Shift some of that thinking and some of that production over to a map editor, over to a clan system, finally, over to whatever it is, and really pound out the stuff you've been putting off because there's so much pressure to make this a successful, you know, league experience. And that may be like the best thing the game ever has happened to it. Like, this is where my optimism lies. And again, I need to see it in action before I can say for sure. But this idea that kind of the chains are off a little bit, or at least the pressure centers are different, and it's no longer the same pressure centers, so they can spend their time building out rad stuff and doing it more on their terms, more of on the team's terms and less on executive terms or less on absolute sales goal terms. Or, I mean, I don't know if any of that pressure has been let off, but if it has, this could be very good for the game we like. Like, it could take us in places we've all been asking for. It could take us in places that Bo's been asking for a whole bunch about league changes and what that even means and why we do competitive the way we do, and maybe we can change our whole thinking around competitive. They can do that now because it almost doesn't matter anymore because you don't have the template of pro esport to worry about. You just make fun game and that's it. And when Blizzard is focused on fun game, that's the best Blizzard. It's the Blizzard who's focused on, well, as fun as you can, but also business model, revenue, this, that, and the other, cadence, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the Blizzard I don't enjoy as much. I just like a rad game, and I'm happy to pay for a rad game. Maybe they've got the chains off to make their rad game now, and it's going to take a little bit for us mentally to get our heads around that shift if there is indeed a shift in that direction, but if there is, I welcome it with big, fat, sweaty hands, man. Like, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for the idea of them having creative control. And in a way that they maybe haven't had up till now. And perhaps a ceiling. It may have lowered a little, but a ceiling of, like, do whatever you want within this space. Like, go for it. Here's the top end. Here's the bottom end. It's no longer, you know, well, we got to spend a bunch to make a bunch. It's just, here's where it is. And it's part of Blizzard, and we're not dropping it. Like, that might be where we're at. And if we are, I'm more optimistic this week, certainly this week, than I was last week about that potential.
And the other thing is, esports isn't a thing that somebody just said, well, it's time to put out StarCraft. Let's make sure we really support this esports scene. We've got a, we're just, you know what? I just thought of the term esports. Let's create a whole league and let's get a bunch of people in there and let's throw it together. Like tournaments and organizations and watching video games in a competitive nature began grassroots, mm-hmm. not an organized company supported thing. It grew from players being interested and passionate about a game. That's kind of what I was trying to allude to last week, and I'll repeat it again. The way HOTS dies is people saying, "Up, dead game," and walk away from it.
Right.
If you care about this game, if you're passionate about this game, keep playing it, keep having fun with it, stick around, and it will grow. Might not grow super fast. It might not ever reach the pinnacles that we think it deserves to be at, but there are people who are playing ridiculously old games because the community around it has stayed strong and supportive. And that's what we can do for this game.
Right.
And if we get to a point where resources can be justified being dropped into it, it will happen. But it only happens if we stick with it. If we, and again, if you're mad, if you're upset, if you hate the game now, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm just going to tell you, you know, this is how the game continues to live, is by people playing it.
Right.
So keep playing it.
Yeah, keep playing it. Now, there's someone in the chat room who I often disagree with, but I'm going to agree with Sidian today. He says this: Ooh. Blizzard showed up to the StarCraft II esports scene and choked it for years before stepping back and letting it breathe, and it's finally succeeding. And that's true. There's StarCraft stuff happening right now that's rad, and there's a bit of a resurgence happening. You could argue that part of what held Heroes back, again, this is very hypothetical, but what maybe part of what was holding Heroes back in terms of its overall success and competition with the big two was them getting in their own way. And by that, I mean trying to micromanage and control everything about the way the thing builds and creates tournaments and what that professional scene looks like. They were very much dictating that from A all the way down to Z. Maybe, just maybe, by getting out of the way in that regard, the community picks up the pieces and we end up having some really cool tournament play. You may see that game excel in ways it was never going to with the professional umbrella around it all the time. Sometimes that just plain holds you back. And I would argue, it's a little, and my argument falls apart a little bit with Valve and with Dota too, because they sort of came in to be big right off the gate and they figured out a way to do it. But in League of Legends case, and you could argue the MOBA genre in general, that's what it was allowed to do. Be a small thing, build itself, build on top of itself, iterate, build community, and eventually, you know, you got Riot, and at the time you had some other competitors that have all kind of gone away, but you have this vibrant competitive scene that grows out of that over time. So I really think that that's a possibility here. At the very least, there's the possibility of the team doesn't have to worry about that stuff so much, and they can just focus on gameplay, mechanic, characters, functionality, and hopefully assuaging Bo's fears, maps, and possibly map editing and other tools to make this game more interesting. Like at this stage, given what we now know about what they perceive as, you know, the value of Heroes and not having it be an esports thing or not pushing it that way anyway, it may mean you finally get a map editor, like a legit one. What's holding it back from doing that now? There's nothing that I can think of. In fact, if anything, this creates some revenue potential for them because they could go, quote unquote, hats with this thing and build a marketplace around it. I mean, these are all possibilities. Now, all of that takes time, takes man hours, and they may not even have that anymore. I don't know.
They have much less of it now. No, I don't, you guys are being very enthusiastic about things, but keep in mind that they are strip mined. So that's, well, we that's the limiting factor.
How strip mined do you think we are? Think they are though. Like if, well, you had to
a
guess,
a lot of the forward facing talent has publicly acknowledged. You know, Kevin Johnson, I think, is moving on to another team. Matt Villers is moving on. Matt Ferguson has been off on Diablo for a while now. There's a guy, Alex, he's off the team. There are a lot of notable front-facing people who are key individuals on the team that are gone. If I had to guess, it's like half or less.
Okay.
But if I had to guess.
Right.
You know, like The public facing side of this is being very PR friendly. We've only have KO's message to go on. And ultimately, your points are all valid and it should stand. I think at this juncture for me, I'm loath to be optimistic till I see proof to feel that way, because everything's going to be biased to shed things in a positive light for now. You know, stick around. The game's going to be great. Maybe, like, all of the ideas presented here are like great and I want them, but I don't feel it in my heart.
Yeah, they have to prove it. I agree.
You know, there's a bit of, in KO's message, there's a bit of I've got to say something so people know I'm pissed too in it.
Yeah.
And in the nice flowery way that PR is. And I don't know if I'm not buying it yet, basically. So, but I think, yes, all that is true. The game is still here. Even if it doesn't change at all from this point forward, if you enjoy playing Heroes, it's still a game you can play with friends. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm skipping down a bit, but this was the best thing that I heard that was positive about, you know, our passion for Heroes and the future of Heroes, is that Grubby said it on a stream, and he spent like 2 minutes just giving his verdict on the situation and moving on, which was that if you like Warcraft 3, the people playing it are still here. You just need, you know, in that case, you need one other person. In this case, you need 9 other people. There's people playing, people casting games. There's a scene. No big deal. Moving on.
Yeah.
It's all like the game hasn't gone anywhere. And so, you know, that doesn't change things. Right. I think with Heroes in particular, it didn't launch as a finished product. It very much felt like a comet. There's a snowball sort of gaining, and it just seems to have hit a boulder, and we're just feeling that right now.
Yeah, a little
bit. But I agree with everything you said. You know, there's a possible future, but I'm not feeling the pudding that the proof is in hasn't been packaged and delivered to my house.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You need to taste that pudding too. He does have this line in here, which I take the most hope from, which is, I'm especially excited for Heroes of the Storm to continue evolving with a renewed focus and purity of purpose. I want to focus on that. Purity of purpose. That implies there were impurities of purpose previous to this, which I think that alludes to the idea that the team was constantly doing balance stuff, constantly worried about HGC, constantly worried about pro stuff, keeping that scene alive, keeping that visage going, keeping those plates spinning, and not focusing on the purity of the game, which is this really fun to play, and what are all the things we're doing to make it even more fun to play, and therefore drive people to spend some money in there and certainly spend their time there. And I take, as the great what's-his-name in The Big Lebowski says, I take comfort in that.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Sam Elliott. When Sam Elliott says, I take comfort in that. It's obviously completely different context, but still, that purity of purpose thing gives me a lot of hope. But Bo's not wrong. We have to see it happen before we can, any of this stuff is either brought to fruition. I'm not going into this bright-eyed and stupid. Like, I know.
I mean, I know you're playing Diablo, and to be fair, just like this game, it's still a fun game to play. Hasn't changed. But, you know, this, I looked at this event, and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, here's a set. Now, instead of 1,000% extra damage, it's 5,000% extra damage, and you get a free ring of royal grandeur or grandeur in
grandeur.
You know, like, well, in French, it's grandeur.
Oh, all right.
But like, you know, it's like, is that it? Like, this kind of pat. Like, I saw that tweet that Diablo sent out, new and exciting content for season 16, and every tweet below it is, but I don't even have a phone. You know, like, so it's like, you know, but the point is, it's like, it's not exciting content. That, you know, like the new seasons, I've been watching them come and go, and I'm like,
Au contraire, because that new season also includes a patch that is on the PTR now that is insane. They have buffed so much stuff. There's like, imagine an idol.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But they buffed things.
I know, like, but still, it's like, this thing's
right,
going from like.
It depends on what you're into, because like, here's the thing. Do you play Heroes because they put out new content every month, or do you play Heroes because you like the game?
Yeah.
Like, it's like you said, if they stopped right now, I like the game. Would this show be able to continue for a game that's not going to evolve ever? No, we would probably have to find something else to do.
Yeah.
Would I still want to play Heroes with my friends? Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So to me, if you're drawing the line in the sand and you're saying I'm only playing this game because it evolves and changes and gets new stuff added to it, then I can see why this seems like a death knell to you. But if you liked the game, it's still here. It hasn't gone anywhere.
No. Well, you're missing part of it too, that the competitive, there's some grassroots stuff coming up. Maybe there will be a competitive scene. Maybe there won't. Speaking from my perspective, that's an important factor in my interest in the game.
Right.
And HGC is a gut punch for me because as a game, I spend so much time playing it to get better and to perfect it. And it's not that I'm playing in it, but that's part of the culture that interests me about the game. Right. So let's just say there is zero esports in it. It's just purely casual, purely login. Then I'll play. I mean, we do a show, so we log in every week. But if I wasn't doing a show, I'd play once. Like, how often do you play Mario Kart with friends on the couch? You get maybe 5 or 6 uses out of it when the family's over and everyone's playing and having a good time. Like that's the level that game is at. I log in 6 times a year when my friends are playing, and then I'm on to other stuff. And that's what's concerning me right now, you know? And so
should play more Mario Kart, by the way. Mario Kart's awesome. Anyway, good reminder.
It could be, but like for me, like Mario Kart's fun, but like there's not a whole family together to play Mario Kart on the couch all the time. So it's a competitive game. It's fun to play with family and friends, but I might not play it that much, only when the occasion arises. Whereas Heroes, I'm like, dinner, eat. All right, I need to practice for my 1 or 2 hours tonight. You know, like, that's how I approach the game. So the way that I engage with the game is fundamentally threatened.
Yeah.
And so nothing that you guys have said, which sounds counter, I disagree with or is wrong. But my concern is for me personally as a player that, you know, even if they have new heroes and new content, am I feeling like this is a competitive environment that I have meaningful things to say and, sure, and to be interested in practicing in anymore?
Yeah.
And that's why I say, like, stuff, we really need to see how things shake out. It's too early, but how I'm feeling a week later for me,
yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of people in that boat. We heard from a lot of people that said, you know what? I didn't play a lot, but I loved HGC. I loved the esport of it. That's gone for me no matter what. And that's why I tried to preempt everything I was going to say by saying, look, that is gone. That is sad no matter what. There's nothing I can say that's going to make that part better. All I can speak is for me personally as a player, which is honestly, if I'm being completely honest, I care about the people that were involved, but I stopped caring about HGC last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always want to care more about it, and I enjoy watching it when I watch it. I got more into this kind of fake HGC final stuff. They would do it at BlizzCon and pre-HGC. That was all you had, and it was fun to watch that stuff. But you all just reminded me of a thing. League didn't start with esports as part of their game. It's just a game, and people liked it, and they played a ton of it. And then later you're like, you know what? This could be an esport. Plus, there were little tournaments around that would kind of prove the idea. Heroes didn't have that option. It just had to go in. They had to jump into the pool with all their clothes on to do this. At least they felt like they had to. I really hope that this scale back means they don't have to feel like that anymore. Like, just make a great game, let it evolve, let the Blizzard magic enter the room and exceed even our expectations of why we even like Heroes in the first place. I just think there's a possibility here, even with a small scale back team. I really hope Bo is wrong, but I think Bo's concerns are legit, and I think I share a bunch of them, but I don't know. I think this is going to be, I think 2019 could be, 2019 will be the year that we know. That's when we'll know.
Yep.
We're going to know one way or the other, up or down, back or forth. We're going to know.
And a part of it is I have a bit of skepticism. So like, everyone was really, really in a bad mood last week. And a lot of my Twitter feed and forum post, like, I had to unplug from it. Then it started turning into, I'm not going anywhere. Like, denial, like all the stages of grief business. And I'm like, oh, I just can't take it. I can't take all the enthusiasm and then the fighting. Like, I don't like all the negativity either, but I was like, you know, it was getting to be too much. So I think I'm still suffering from that a little bit. And I've really just been trying to unplug from it all to
sure.
get to a
sure.
like more level-headed place for me personally, because I'm in the forest and can't see it from the trees right now.
I think that's a healthy thing to do. I don't have any qualms with you doing that. Yeah, I'm doing it.
Like
I'm doing it. I think John's doing it to some degree. We're all kind of doing this. I think kind of across the board people are doing it. The other day, freaking Mick Montgomery and a bunch of Heroes people are all playing League together. I'm like, what are you guys even, what are you doing over there, you traitors? And then I thought to myself, you go grieve in your own way, everybody. I've been playing a lot of space games. That helps me. I like to go into space and do a mission and get some credits and then spend those credits on a better MK2 weapon for my left wing, this damn ship I bought.
Mortal Kombat 2 weapon.
I think it's short for Mark.
You know they're up to 11 now, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm so excited. I don't even know what it means. There were two scorpions. What does it mean?
It means that game is the bloodiest damn intro I've ever seen them make. That game is going to be the most violent thing in the history of ever, and I'm stoked. I can't wait to play
MK11. I think I'll be okay with it. I don't know. It depends on the roster. The only thing that made me uncomfortable about Mortal Kombat 10, this is a weird tangent, but the only thing that made me uncomfortable was they introduced characters' kids. And it was like, it made sense. Like, we've gone into the future. Here's their kids.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, Jax T-Rexing his daughter. And you're like, oh, I suddenly don't feel comfortable at all with this game. Like, this is bad.
Yeah, it's weird.
What's a T-Rex?
You smush their arms to where just their hands are sticking out of their torso. And you have to decapitate them at their mouth so their head flops around like a T-Rex.
Like a T-Rex. It's really bad. That game is so gross. And I can't believe the old 2D garbage one from the 90s just about shut the industry down. Like, where did all those people go? Where did their sense of offense end up? Because, man, well, they missed lost. The boat. Woo!
YouTube won.
I guess we won. Yeah. Well done, everybody.
Yeah. I wanted to make one other comment about KO's letter, which on the whole was awesome that he came out and did this. Whether it was like, he's being iconoclast and had to get his message out there because it felt like it undermined the JBRAC thing. Also, that it was an attempt to reassure the fan base. So it's just funny because it came out a day later, I think.
Yeah,
It was a day later.
Yep.
And it was a stark contrast to, I don't know, whether or not you think it's a controversy or not, or whether or not you think it's important or not, that I don't think there was any statements from the Diablo Immortal camp like, hey guys, we hear you. You know, like just an acknowledgement of empathy of some kind for what they were receiving. Like none of that from that team. And I was like, those are the kinds of things that reflect well to me on the Heroes team. Like if I'm to walk away because saying one thing of positive note that I think KO made a really good move, whether it was his decision or his team or whatever, to do that, where other teams within that company have not done that. And learn a lesson from game director KO Melker, the people's game director KO Melker, showing us how game directing is done.
I agree with that. However, I will, just to throw a fig leaf to the Diablo team, they're talking about a game that is not out and already has expectations tied to it, people playing it, 5 years of release to it, or however long
they
it's
don't
been.
Have to talk about it. They could just say, it doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. You can just say clearly that we made a lot of people mad. So just reiterate what it is, you know, like reassure people. I don't know. You can do this.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. There's a measure of public relations there that they missed out on. Absolutely no question about that. I'm just saying that's probably why we got less of it. This needed a Band-Aid immediately because we are talking about an active living game. Those guys didn't feel that way because they're talking about a game that doesn't actually exist yet in the hands of players.
It's not that the game, I wouldn't say that they needed to talk about it. What I'm saying is that they needed to apologize. In the perception of a large vocal group of people that is mudslinging on, you know, whether it's right or wrong, to grapple that bull and just discuss the mobile thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't even have to talk about an unannounced project because there's stuff to apologize for. We hyped up the video. We're being very cloudy about our language. We know it's confusing. We hear you that you don't want mobile games, and we're sorry we gave you that impression. We continue to hope to work on this, but we have, you know, like whatever it might be. KO didn't release the full plans for what's going on with the unreleased content either, and he managed to find a way to speak. So I'm just saying, take a lesson from a people's game director, KO Melker, about at least doing something and acting in time of crisis. Yeah. And honestly, in the perception of people, Heroes, dead game, we get a statement from the game director, Diablo, the most hyped about, like, everyone's, it's like 1,000 YouTube videos all screamed out, and then we're suddenly silenced after that Diablo Immortal thing, and, like, nothing. Like, you know, people care way more, I think, even if it's just perceived, way more people care about the future of the Diablo franchise than they do about Heroes.
Well, like, yeah. I've been pretty vocal about the idea that I think they screwed that up. They totally screwed up the last Thursday's announcement of HTC going away and how they did it. Like, I don't know what Blizzard's up to in that regard. It's really funky to me and feels just off and not in keeping with the history of that company. And I know enough people who have either been there or are still there to know that this is kind of a weird new phase, and I don't know where it's coming from. And everyone's like, Scott, you big dummy. Of course it's Activision. That's more complicated than that.
I don't like the Activision thing because it absolves Blizzard from responsibility.
It does, yeah. I don't like that.
People should just never say Activision. They should just say Blizzard.
Yeah.
It's all Blizzard's fault. Who cares about Activision? They're there. They've been there for a decade now. Like, get over it.
Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah. Like, honestly, it's like, just blame Blizzard. Even if Activision is the one at fault, still blame Blizzard.
Yeah, it's still
on
them.
You know, somebody will do something and give Activision the boot. I don't know. Like, it's not going to happen by picking on them when it's got nothing to do with them, probably in most cases.
Yep. Well, we'll see how it all pans out. A couple of other things have happened this week. For example, the winter event has begun. Oh, yes. Sylvanas Stitches reworks. Do we have any impressions? And we did already talk about these. Oh, no. John, you played some games with Stitches, and you sounded bummed about it. Has that changed?
I turned around when we started winning. No, I turned around when I found a different build for him.
Yeah.
So I went in with a pretty clear idea of the Stitches I wanted to make and the Stitches I wanted to be. And I climbed into that bear suit and was ready to go. And I was like, oh, this is not good. I don't like this at all. I felt extremely squishy. I felt like he couldn't do anything. And another thing I want to address, because I heard a lot of this, let's get to the real controversy of Heroes of the Storm, is all those people out there who said, oh, they didn't nerf his hook by that much.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, as somebody who missed 90% of his hooks by that much, I noticed how much that hook got nerfed.
Yeah.
It was considerable.
I noticed it too. There'd be these times where you'd do a move that I was used to seeing you do through like some bushes and some, you know, like a nice sneaky thing that seems like it's in your wheelhouse, and it would miss these guys by like an inch.
Yeah, just enough to kiss them. The hook would come out and just on the cheek,
peck them on
and
the
then
face.
Back it would go, and they would not come with it.
Yeah.
But I did find a build that I ultimately ended up liking. It made him a lot more survivable. That does concern me a little bit that it took finding a specific build for him to feel good, because, you know, in theory, not to say that every talent should be viable combined with every talent, but this isn't my first rodeo with Stitches. I should have been able to put a pretty decent build together just from the offset. And it was night and day difference between going with what I had initially and what I landed on. So, I think he's in a good place. He got buffed in today's balance patch. He got more health and more regen baseline, which I think he needed, because that was what was feeling weak, is he didn't feel like enough of a tank.
Yeah.
And so we'll see where he goes. They said they're monitoring him for potential further updates, but I don't know. I like him. I still end up taking fishing hook because, man, I like a long hook.
Yeah. Good long hook. Nobody likes it.
They say it's not about the length of the hook.
You're here to.
You know what I realized? Yeah. When you send your hook out, you stun yourself.
Oh, well, that's a good point. Yeah, you're unusable for a bit. It's like you're like Nazebo and his whatever that ultimate's called.
Spirit.
Yeah, except shorter, obviously, because your hook comes back quicker. But yeah, you become kind of vulnerable.
I think you're channeled, but I think you can't. I wonder what interrupts you mid hook. Like, would an Anubarak bet of spikes cancel your hook?
Like, if you get stunned in the middle of it, does the hook just kind of...
Yeah.
Maybe you just take damage. Maybe it doesn't interrupt the hook, but you just get hurt.
That's because you're a tank. Usually, you know, when you're hooking, you're usually far away, and you're not on the receiving end, and it's a pretty fast animation, but I realize you can't move.
Look, when I'm
can't move or do anything when you're hooking.
When I'm hooking, I'm on the receiving end every time.
every time.
Every time I'm hooking.
Okay.
This weekend.
Oh, here's what I like. Your initial thought. I appreciated what you said. I thought it was a good observation, but it was the most like 420 heroes thought I had ever heard right now. Did you ever think about the fact that when Stitches tries to hook somebody, it's like he's stunning himself, man?
Yeah. All right, enough hooking. Sylvanas, though, what's her deal? I don't play her, so what's going on there? She's changed. Really?
Well, John's beloved, so, you know.
Well, you give me your take, Bo, because I saw you played her the other night when we had games, and you didn't seem super stoked.
Oh, yeah, she's, I don't know if it's a power level thing, but it just seems like it's very finicky. So the way she works now is her Q, just you shoot all five shots automatically, and it goes, thum, 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 thum.
Yeah.
So it takes a while.
Yeah.
But it has a more generous range, and it prioritizes heroes, kind of, and it's the closest heroes. So thing works like Deflect or Garrosh's Throw. You know, it just automatically targets the nearest enemy, prioritizing heroes within the range. It's cool. The other two abilities pretty much work the same. It's cool, but it's like underwhelming.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there are ways to build it so her auto attacks matter more, and there are ways to build it so that your auto attacks will put stacks of Banshee's Curse, I think it's called, onto an enemy, and that increases your damage output on your Q. So I think the idea is you're supposed to weave in these auto attacks on targets, making them susceptible to increased damage from Q, and then fire your Q, except the Q doesn't go anymore for like ninja attacks. It's like, thoop, thoop, thoop. So you're like trying to hang around and get all five thoops on them, and it's very like, I don't know, just it's a lot of work for not as much game as other auto attackers. So I think I like the changes, but it definitely needs some finessing.
Does she feel more like an assassin now or no? Because that's kind of
definitely.
All right.
It's just I just think her time to kill is very long.
Yeah,
and there's just a lot of assassins that do it better right now. There's a good build where you can melt tanks because you can get a giant killer at level one. That's pretty cool. But it's only 1%, but still, it's significant. And she can really melt a target. I've played a couple of games, but like I can't win a game with her whenever I'm like solo queuing. Like it just doesn't happen. She blows up super easy. But she needs to be up closer than like a Hanzo or a Vala, it feels like, in order to be effective. And especially when you're trying out mind control and bringing them to you, which I really like the new mind control. Now that it's a skill shot, I think that's super cool. And now that I'm not stunned when I take it, I also like that part too. Yeah. It's a step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned.
John, have you spent a bunch of time with her?
I have. I think Bo is 100% spot on with his assessment. Like when you get in the mode and the conditions are right and you really truck someone with her, you're like, oh my gosh, she's powerful. This is amazing. But the requirements to set that up are so high, there's no reason to pick her over almost any other assassin.
Oh, wow.
Everything feels like it's just a little too off. Her Q is a little too slow. Her survivability is a little too low. The shadow dagger spread is a little too hard to pull off. You know, everything is just slightly off from what it should be. And it feels like maybe that's intentional, because I can certainly see if the numbers were a little too far the other way, I can see where that power is. There's the hints of the power that could be there. And so I guess I kind of see why they're nudging it. She also got a change today to make her a little more survivable, because like Bo said, you have to be right in the thick of it. But they did say they're observing to see how she progresses as people learn her. And I think a lot of that is because I do see her as one of those characters that's on that knife edge of, well, right now she's kind of garbage, but you give her the right nudges in the right direction, and all of a sudden she's this unstoppable force that nobody wants to play against. Yeah. So I agree with Bo. I really like the changes to her kit for the most part. I don't like having to shoot the target to spread the dagger. I think that's an unnecessary step too far that I thought I would be okay with, and I'm not okay with it. I just don't like it.
A lot of ranged assassin, like auto attack assassins, have snappy abilities. And her like knife, like shadow dagger and the wave are very like, here I come. Like they're not snappy in terms of damage, you know, except in the Q they tuned it down. Whereas like Vala's multi-shot's just like split arrow on Hanzo or whatever it's called, scatter arrow is like everything travels fast and is snappy. Yeah, Cassia's Q, you know, fires out quick, and all of her stuff is very like slow motion, like da-da-dun. Will the wave get there? I don't know. Tune in next week for the end of the haunting wave, you know. So it's like it's not very snappy for you know, assassins who need to, I think, even whether they're skill shots or just point and clicks, need to have their abilities like function with a suitable reaction time. Unlike, say, a mage who can get away with, because their damage output is so high, they can have slow abilities like Blizzard, you know, to do that stuff.
Right. Well, she's different now. She adheres to the new. Well, you know what? They still haven't brought this up. I keep wishing somebody since the announcement Thursday would just confirm that we're still getting the role changes. I assume we are. I hope so.
Like, I would assume so.
They're quasi in the game because you will get XP boosts for the tank classes that were announced at BlizzCon, but there's no UI elements.
Oh, right.
To suggest it. That UI, the hero selection is getting pretty full up. I have to think that a new UI has like been in development and we'll see that soon.
Yeah. Like, and it'll coincide with that, I'm sure, right? Yeah. Like releasing that'll be part of it.
I suspect so. I don't know for sure.
XP changes have begun. This follow-up from last week's controversial topic, rather. XP changes are live. Now they're in the game. I didn't really notice anything weird. I'm not super tuned to the tiny incremental details of such a change, but I had fun and had good games and never felt weird about those games. So what's the consensus? I mean, I know this focus shifted from XP changes are the worst things ever to, oh my gosh, J. Allen Brack just canceled HGC, and then we haven't talked about XP changes anymore. But how do you guys feel, and have we heard anything from the grapevine, I guess?
The consensus from what I've heard from a lot of people that we know and play with are that they're fine, everyone's cool with it, and they've improved games for the most part. It's pretty unanimous. In the zeitgeist of Activision, blame Activision folk and that kind of thing, XP changes still are yet another misstep in that direction, because that's just what people are parroting online.
Right.
But for the most part, you still can get level advantages if you play poorly in our casual games, at the very least. I've seen it. And what's kind of great is that if you fall behind, you are not punished by being also four levels behind, having the objective and all the camps taken, blah, 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 blah. You have a fighting chance.
Right.
And again, like we covered in depth 2 weeks ago, this is not good for the professional scene, but they fixed that. The big joke is that's how they balanced this patch, was to get rid of HGC.
It's as if the only people that were upset about things was Alderaan.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The solution wasn't to make Alderaan happy. Just blew it up.
You may fire when ready. Something to that effect was said.
Jay Allen Breck's like, wait a second, I got to cancel HGC because to make this patch work?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, trust me, it's a good idea. I'll do it, but give me half your staff.
Yeah.
Wow, what a trade.
Man. Yeah, they, I suspected that the XP thing wouldn't be that big a deal once it hit, and everybody seems to be okay with it. And we'll watch it, you know, see how things go.
No, I like it. I'm a big fan, by the way, if I didn't make that clear. I thought these were good from the beginning. I still think they're good. And it's just going to mean... Okay, and there's a point I want to make. I just want to put it on the record. Put it on the record.
Get it out there.
Can I do that?
Okay. Yep.
Because people say, there's nowhere to carry a game anymore. And there's no reward for winning the game. One of the stated objectives of Heroes of the Storm since inception was to get rid of this idea that there's individual levels, right?
Yeah.
We have team levels.
Yeah.
So when the enemy team is four levels ahead of you, it's like all five players are four levels ahead of you.
Yeah.
It's effectively doing the same thing. It's a cumulative total of 20 levels. Yeah. I'm sure that doesn't work out. Like, it is 20, but someone probably be more exact with the effective levels that it is. But you're basically, the whole team is running away with the game. And that's not a design principle. Just like we have to have 20-minute games and no surrender button, it's not a core pillar of what Heroes of the Storm is. So the fact that you found it more competitive or more rewarding or the reason to play goes against the very stated objective of what Heroes is supposed to do as a game.
Yeah.
So I just want to put that out there. It's literally like saying, why don't they just introduce individual levels again? They might as well just do that.
Yeah. Bo, it's on the record now. You put it on the record. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for letting me put it on the record.
No, no problem. It'll hopefully not come back to haunt you. Or
we got
to
wash the record now.
But yeah,
it made you happy, and that's what matters.
The record has a stain on it.
just a
tiny little smear. You can't even smell it.
I like it. XP changes are good.
Yeah, they are good. I think I agree with what little. I mean, again, I don't have a nose for it, but it didn't bother me, and I felt like my games have been better. So I guess the other thing is a lot of people going, oh man, since this HCC cancellation and this stuff last Thursday, games have sure been great. Maybe it's because it's the same time that XP change hit. It's entirely possible that is having the desired effect, but is completely overwhelmed narratively by the HCC cut. And so we're not applying the gratitude where it belongs, which is a smart move with the XP. I have a feeling that's probably the case. Now, all that being said, and Boa, you've got this right here in the notes, and I was definitely going to bring this up today. If you're in solo queue or even partial group queue or even group queue where you get a full stack and you're watching yourself get matched and all of a sudden the additional text pops up while you're in queue and says expanding search, you have a warning for those people. Why? What happens?
Okay, well, I'm not 100% sure how it works behind the scenes, but this is new with this patch. We have a quick match now that will select a tank, a healer, a ranged assassin, and two flex.
Yeah.
It's not 100% working, everyone, so bear with. Sometimes you get the three tank, one healer, yeah, one deadly. Like, weird stuff still comes up, but for the most part, it's trying to fit better conditions so that your quick match games resemble draft and ranked and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's doing an okay job of it. With that patch came the expanding quick search text if you wait more than 30 or 60 seconds. And whenever that text comes up and I'm solo queuing a quick match, there is without fail one person on my team that is really bad, like playing with their mouth and their one foot bad. Like, really bad. And not only is it on my team, it's on the enemy team too. Like, I can tell when someone's like, the Vala is like 5 miles ahead of her team, and we've killed her 10 times.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And mostly if I take something that's desired, I don't see it. But if I say, want to try Sylvanas, makes sense. They're going to expand the quick time probably to speed up my queue or something like that. But they are going to give me probably like, there's a couple of, you know, house pets also playing in the match with us or something. And it's gotten to the point where I've done two things. One is I'm like, screw quick match. And I went to play ranked and had a way better time. Like, yeah, solo queue hero league.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, thank God. A good match. Finally.
Yeah. That's too bad.
So that's actually a positive. If quick match is actually kind of crap, like, I'm like, I can't play the heroes I like. Maybe I'll go to ranked. I think that's a win. And there were good rank, like enjoyable ranked games. And the other one was, what was I going to say? I went to play.
I don't know.
Oh, that now when I see the expanding quick match,
yeah,
expanding the search, I just cancel out. In fact, it happened. I logged in because I was like, finally going to play a game of heroes. Pick stitches, tank desired, went to expanding search. I canceled it and quit the game.
Oh,
I was like, no, the skill disparity was so high that I'd rather not waste my time. Like, that's literally what happened yesterday. And I was like, I don't know what to say about that other than that's been my experience of it so far. When you play with a five stack, it's fine because if it expands the search, who cares?
Like, yeah, who cares?
Playing with your friends, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. In fact, maybe it's even an advantage because you might get into somebody who sucks. and then you win anyway. You know,
Or you play against tougher people, and that's cool too. I don't mind playing against harder opponents because I feel like I learn when I lose against people that just really own me. So it's fine. It's just if you're solo queuing, it's like you might actually want to go play Hero League now or maybe unranked. Some of the joke has been quick match or unranked is the new quick match because people just LOL pick whatever now. I haven't played unranked, but if you want the LOL pick whatever match, now everyone's going in there and just picking their picks because maybe they don't like playing it, I guess, in the quick match system. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird phenomenon. That being said, I haven't played all week since the Jalen Brack thing, so not a big sample size. So I am putting that energy out there, but at the same time, I want to give it some time.
Bo, then remember, but this is Bo 10,000 game Bo is who this Bo is. So when he's taking a little bit of time off because of all this stuff, it just makes you think, man. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what any of that means.
I don't know.
It doesn't mean anything, does it?
It doesn't. Thank you for bragging for me, but
it's a lot of games, man. 10,000 games.
We all adjust at our own pace. Yeah. We all come to things at our own speed.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned to some extent that a lot of this, I think out of the three of us, the lack of the esports thing, I think impacts me the most in terms of my engagement with it. And it's not to say one way or the other is right or wrong. It's just, it hit me right in the gut in a big way. Yeah.
And I don't want to accuse you of anything, Bo, but I'm pretty sure this is something you have told me about yourself, is that, you know, you tend to be a slow to come to your decisions. Like, that's why we usually had the trait on the show where it's like, new hero comes out, Bo's like, I don't know, probably the worst hero ever. Let's not talk about her. And then two or three or four weeks go by, and then next thing you know, Bo's changed his avatar, and he's talking like them, and it's all he plays, and it's all he ever does. I don't know what Scott's doing, but I'm worried about it.
Fixing the camera.
Go ahead.
Sorry. You know, he gets to that point, and Bo has told me that, like, that's his process, that's his pace, that's the way he comes to things, and I don't see why I would expect this to be any different.
Yeah. An important question in the chat. I think it's just a good question, it's a rhetorical question, but he says, weren't you guys making these shows before the HGC? Yeah, of course we were.
Yeah.
But we
I don't think this show is in any danger because HGC doesn't exist.
No.
The only reason this show would be in danger is if we don't have something to talk about on a weekly basis or even like a monthly basis.
Yeah, that's the trick. We'll keep doing it as long as we just need, like, that's why I'm really curious about the post holiday stuff, because that's when things should kick into gear in theory. And I want to see how they handle it. So we'll see
how they handle it. If we need to kill an hour and a half, we can just bring back Next Jeopardy.
Yeah, just do Next Jeopardy, and that's all the show. It's the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bo doing fort questions. Let's do it.
Now that they're cutting funding, I secretly hope that Blizzard Light would listen to my Next Jeopardy idea and bring me on to do a game show for their YouTube channel.
Sure, let's do it. Why not? Oh, it never happened. Well, maybe it will still. I'm never say never.
That's the new HGC is Heroes Trivia.
Yeah. Why not? All right. Finally, we got a balance patch today. That's the 19th. Cho and Gaul getting old. Let's nerf this a bit, and we'll see if that works. If it's not, we got more coming, quote unquote, style of nerfs. I didn't read that very well, but that's, you get the idea. It's a little dip your foot in the water and see if it works sort of thing. Same with Orphea. Health and HP regen have been lowered. Crushing Jaws does less damage and stuns for 0.5 seconds. That's from 0.75. So that's shorter. That's a nerf. Key talent at level 1, Ancestral Strength damage bonus lowered to 20% from what, though? What was it before?
25.
Oh, it was 25. Okay. And taking Backbiter at level 4 will give you the nerfed health back, effectively, anyway. So that's all stuff happening to her. Small changes. Samuro, Sylvanas, win rate is looking a little low buffs. Zagara, Ariel, some Deckard Cain talent buffs. Morales, Uther, D.Va, Mal'Ganis, Stitches, tiny little buffs coming here and there for those guys. Actually seems like a lot of work underway for a game with less of a staff. Maybe a lot of this was done before. I don't know, but
everything's very nuanced, and I will point out that the patch notes were posted to Reddit, and the developer was on there saying they've got lots more good things to come.
Good. Good, good, good.
Yeah, I expect that we'll still see regular balance changes because these don't. They probably spend more time deciding and analyzing than they do actually making some of these changes. Like, you know, just go and change a variable and it's done.
True. All right. I think that covers that. Oh, real quick, a note here. So it's the holidays. Things are getting busy. Things are getting a little nuts. Normally we have a There Will Be Dungeons D&D show on Saturdays. And as it turns out, this weekend is going to be no different. It's just going to be different in other ways. I'm not here is what I'm trying to say. I'm gone for the weekend for holiday stuff, and I won't be here. So instead, you guys are going to do some kind of cool one-off. I understand John's going to have something to do with DMing this thing. But, yeah. John, I want you to read this, but with the Oprah Winfrey music. Are you cool with doing that?
Do you want to do Oprah? Do you have some generic-sounding holiday music?
Yeah, I do. Hold on a second. I have the official tape. Back in the day, it was a tape, or maybe even a record.
Great.
That
I'm already on board with
Kmart used to use.
Oh my gosh, this is perfect.
This is going to be good. So this is Kmart in-store Christmas music, and it begins. This is from 1974. This begins. Let's see, what year were you born? 80 something?
84 for me.
You're born the year before Back to the Future. You're young.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Anyway, back in
thank you for the compliment.
I mean, I was only like 3 and a half when this thing happened. But anyway, this was 1974. This is Kmart in-store music. It begins with the actual Kmart theme, and that's really what you'll be talking over. So here it goes. Great. John will now prepare what he's going to say. So here you go. Oh, wait, this isn't it. Hold on a second. Actually, you know what? I don't like that either. That's dumb. Let's do this instead. No, all right, it's I'm dreaming. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Did you know that a few months ago, John won the lottery? And now he's decided to celebrate the holiday with the There Will Be Dungeons crew in a big way. But has his festive machinations gone too far? What secrets lurk within the heart of the House of Holiday Spirit? And will it be the crew's last Christmas ever? We're going to have to find out this Saturday for a special one-shot of There Will Be Dungeons.
Same time, right? 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern.
I'm going to say yes.
And because I auto-host whoever's streaming it, it will be at frogpants.tv. But if you want to follow whoever's doing who's doing it? Is it Kyle? Is it Bo? Who's streaming?
I don't know.
You guys haven't talked about that yet.
You're the Dungeon Master. You got to know these things.
All right.
I thought because I was the Dungeon Master, that meant I was definitely not streaming it.
Okay.
That's how that
probably
worked.
We'll do the same arrangement as last time. I can stream it and Kyle will have the backup recording.
Okay, good. Okay,
he'll record the audio and I'll do the stream side.
Yeah, and I host everybody like auto-host, so if you accidentally end up in my thing, it'll still be there. And you can click over to the chat and stuff like that. So
I want to say that, let's just do this on the air. Who cares? What if you're like you don't have a good holiday spirit?
Do you not
I
have
know.
One?
Does that matter?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out what that means, Bo. Mm.
Okay.
Interesting.
Cool.
Okay.
One thing of note, much to Bo's dismay, everybody will be playing themselves.
Oh.
But it is going to still follow Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition rules. They're going to be level 3. And it's going to be exciting. But
we're playing our spirit classes, so I take that to mean we have to pick the thing that's most in line with our personality as well as our...
What's in your heart?
Yeah.
You're going to regret it.
You're going to regret it. I can want
to... I've already made one D&D campaign stop.
I mean, I won't. You've got one hit point. Getting rid of you is easy.
No, that was a mistake. I figured it out. I have 12. I have 12.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, if you cause trouble, you're the easiest one to get rid of, though.
You have 12.
You stub your toe.
Hey, you have 12 at level 1? Is that where you... This is a level 1 character that you
level, level 3. Level 3.
Level 3, okay.
I have 12.
All right. Well.
So if I was level 1, I'd actually have 4.
Oh, nice.
So anyways.
Very nice.
But yeah, I've got 6 strength. And 7 constitution.
You're going to kill it, man.
But you know what? I am a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
I'm going to solve everything with acting. You just wait and see.
I love it. I'm excited.
I am as well. I'm not even going to be here. Anyway.
Well, but you will be there. Scott will be in the episode. Not actually Scott, but Scott the character.
Someone's going to role play me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who or what or if that's a DM thing, but I want
to. Oh, it'll be me.
Oh, geez, Louises. This is going to be bad. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Now, just for fun, I do want you to hear this Kmart song. Okay. So it's just a little quick Kmart song. Check it out.
Kmart is more than any store you have known before. Kmart means you get quality. It's friendly and warm, and service does not take long. One visit and you will agree. Kmart is all the things a great store should be. Quality at discount prices, satisfaction always you'll see. Kmart is all the things a great store should be. Quality at discount prices, satisfaction always you'll see. Kmart.
There, we gotta get the lights going. Ooh, that's bright. That's freaky.
It is really bright.
I don't know if that's good.
I wonder if this is damaging my webcam. Let me stick the light right into it.
Got this.
You're like, oh, this smells weird. And then you lick it.
Yeah, then I taste it.
Mm. You know, I feel like I was at like the, you know, the doctor when they stick the light in your eye and you're just like, ah.
Yeah. Yes, I used to hate that. I hate it now. Yeah. I have to do that all the time.
That's what you did to us.
I have weird eyes. I have to do that all the time now when I go in there. All right, well, that covers that, and it should be exciting stuff. So tune in and enjoy your holiday this Saturday, which isn't really a holiday, but it's a few days before Christmas Eve, and you'll just have a great time with these guys. And Kristen and Kyle are here for that too, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody but me. Man, yeah, I'm going to be bummed to miss this. It's all right, though. I got stuff, and it's all good. Now this. Just kidding. We're not doing that. Instead, I'm going to tell you goodbye. We're done. This is the show. And we're not playing games tonight. Everybody's got busy lives, busy stuff going on. No games tonight. But it's all good. You should all, you know what? Instead of watching us, you guys should just all go hop in game and play, have a good time, and all that business. That's it for the show. A reminder, you can help us out over at patreon.com/coreshow. I know a lot of you don't play the game and still listen to the show. I know a lot of you who do. Either way, if you enjoy the content and you like what we're doing, show us over at patreon.com/coreshow. We're at heroesforyou.com. That's a thing for real. That's our website. And you can find everything. You can find it.
Somebody was going to hear that website and go, no way.
No way. What? A website? Heroes for You? What?
The internet?
That's crazy.
And even websites.
There you'll find all our contact details, versions of the show on YouTube, links is the word I'm looking for, to every other way to get us and find us and have us and be with us. So go check that out. That's heroesforyou.com. As always, email us, core@heroesforyou.com. And core heroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. That's all on Twitter. And you can find us there. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.